As we said at the start here, we've got a theme for this day, and the theme is chosen people. And in our morning Bible studies, we've gathered, as some have, in different rooms here to talk about the Word of God. And we studied this from 1 Peter. All right, for us, we're going to be in Romans 10 here together. So if you'd like to turn there, that would be just fantastic. If you don't have a Bible, the text in its entirety is in your bulletin. And it's also on the wall today, which simply means you can follow along as we progress throughout this here. I want to share a thought here today. We're going to call one God fits all. And so to start here, we always ask for a little help. Have you ever bought something that was a one size fits all when you realized you weren't the one size? Yeah. I can remember even as a little kid. I was like probably junior high, maybe sixth grade. I bought an Angels hat, baseball hat. Had the A with the halo on it. I didn't like the Angels. It was just, it kind of looked cool, I thought. So we bought this thing, and I put it on my head, and if I turned my head, it would just spin around. You know, and the tab says, one size fits all. So it doesn't work that way. This summer at our camp, we put some black lights in our gym about this size, and we were wearing these neon vests, and they're supposed to be one size fits all. And so I've got a good buddy who comes to help us at camp, and he's about 6'3", and maybe 350 pounds, and he barely got his arms in. And he said, this is a lie. You know, one size does not fit all. And so now you'll find a lot of things that say what? One size fits most. Yeah, right. All right. That's their scapegoat, I guess. So they tend to oversell and underdeliver when they say one size fits all. I promise you we won't do that today. That'll be your conclusion to come to. But from the Word of God, the reality is one God fits all. One God is the perfect fit for every person on the planet who's ever walked it, who's ever breathed the air, who's ever been put here. One God is the true fit. Have you heard the expression, and maybe you've heard it in a song, there's a God-shaped hole in all of us? You heard that before? All right, the idea is not, you know, there wasn't a doctor that went somewhere and said, in between these lungs and the heart, in this tissue, everybody has a hole that looks like the shape of a God, that if you believe in any God, he's going to fill that shape. Okay, the idea there is that you've been created to be completed by God. You've been created to be completed by God, and that's true from the oldest to the youngest in this room today. He's the perfect fit. One God fits all. So Romans 10 is where we're going to be. What we're going to find here is this guy named Paul. He wrote this letter to these Roman believers. Some were Jews, some were not Jews, just like you and I. The Bible tends to differentiate between either Jewish people or everybody else on the planet. And so we would be the Gentiles, so Jews and Gentiles, and he's writing to help them understand some things as they're really trying to navigate this transition in their life. Big struggle for them up to this point. He's trying to clarify some things. So we'll try to do the same today, all right? Romans 10, let's go verse 1 through about verse 13. It says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. So if you're going to follow the law, you've got to live by it. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does this faith say? It says the word is near you, it's in your mouth, it's in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, if you believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, you will be what? Saved, period. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction, here we go, between Jew and Greek, Jew and Gentile. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So we want to look through this text today here, looking at how God chose some things that in turn require a choice of everybody on the planet. And whether you believe in God or not, everybody on the planet does something with God. You either believe you're going to pursue him, or you're going to believe there's no God and you're going to live your life accordingly. Okay? Everybody does something with God. It's a question everybody deals with. And we're going to try to do the same thing here this morning quickly. All right? So God chose here three things if you'd like to follow along. Some people write in their bulletin. You don't have to at all. It's just there if you'd like to use it that way. The first thing is this. God chose to relieve us of some things And he chose to relieve us of this burden of trying to earn something that he has freely given. Now, have you ever lived in such a way where you tried to measure up to what somebody else thought you should be? They had expectations of you? And that's one of the most discouraging ways to do life on this planet. Somebody else imposing their desires of who you should be, what you should think, how you should live. It's a difficult way to try to live up to somebody's expectations. Maybe you did it as a kid. Did you ever try to like win your parents' approval? I just want my dad to be proud of me. I just want my mom to be proud of me. And so we work hard to try to live up to some standard. And I don't know how it worked in your home. Maybe you were at this position where you did great and your parents said, well, you can still do better. You know, nothing like a good pat on the back, right? Or a better kick in the pants at that point. Maybe you've experienced something like that. Maybe you've been on a sports team and your coach has maybe not recognized how talented you were. And you were really the best one on the team. He or she just hadn't seen it yet. And so you worked hard and you stayed later and you did everything possible to gain his or her attention only for them to say, man, if you just work a little bit harder, you'd probably be as good as some of these people on this team. It's like I could just never measure up. Like I just can't earn what it is that I feel like I should or maybe what you are expecting of me. Maybe it was with an employer. You're in this company and you feel like, man, I can work my way up. And when I get to the top, then he's going to recognize me. She's going to recognize me. I'll be making this kind of money or have this kind of whatever authority. And yet when you continue just to work, you find that there's no promotion, no raise, no pat on the back. You're just like anybody else there. Nothing special about you. Sometimes it's hard to live up to somebody else's expectations of our life. And the truth of the matter is, for me, that's very disheartening. You know, I think a lot of people have this view of God. That God has standards for me, that if there is a God, he has some kind of expectations that I just can't meet, or I'm going to try to, and at the end of it, he's just going to say, ha-ha, I told you you couldn't do it. So what's the point of even trying? That sounds pretty cruel to me rather than anything loving. Some believe God just wants us to be good. Some believe he wants us just to do good. And that in doing that, in some way, we're trying to earn his forgiveness or his approval. The reality is this isn't new, nor is this true. So let's go to the text here. Romans chapter 10, verse 3 and 4. Talking again, now these were about the Israelite people. These people did not know the righteousness of God. They didn't know what God had done for them. And so they tried to establish their own. And they wouldn't submit to what God had done. Verse 4, Christ is the culmination of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. And so the people that Paul wrote to are no different than the people here today. People just like me. We felt like we need to earn it. And even as a follower of Christ, I still find myself living that way some days. Rather than enjoying what he's done for me, I feel like I need to gain my Father's approval. So I work hard to do good. So God's like, yay. When the truth of the matter is, God couldn't love you any more than he loves you right now. Whether you love him or not, whether you believe him or not, whether you like him or not, he couldn't love you any more or any less than he currently does. Now, is there a difference between God loving us and God being pleased with us? Absolutely. If you've been a parent, have you ever found a moment in your life where you loved your child, you just weren't pleased with them? Right. That's natural. That's how it works. And so it's the same way with God. All right, when you were displeased with your child, did you stop loving them? All right, you may have thought about it. You may have thought about shipping them off or giving them to an aunt or uncle or say, you're out of here. I've had enough. But ultimately, that love wins out for a parent. All right, I love my child, and so I want what's best for this child. And so I'm not pleased with you right now, but I couldn't love you anymore. And that's the picture of God. God loves you just as you sit here, whether you hate him or not, disbelieve, whatever. Believe he couldn't love me any more than he already does. And so for these people, Paul was trying to make that clear. You're trying to come to God on your terms. You're trying to do what you think is going to be pleasing to God. So at the end of it all, God's going to say, hey, you've done at least some good. And I'll recognize that. I'll acknowledge that. So if there is a heaven, hey, come on in because at least you tried. You scored kind of hard. You know what the standard is to be in a right relationship with God? I was never an A student. But to be right with God means you've got to be perfect. That's P-E-R-F-E-C-T. Anybody perfect? No. That's right. No. So this sounds like cruelty, like to the nth degree. There's this God who loves me. There's this God who desires this relationship with me, and the only way I get there is to be perfect, and I can't be perfect. See what I'm getting at? How disheartening, how discouraging is that? It just seems to be entirely cruel. Do you remember the game? It was back in the 80s. So some of you won't remember it, obviously. The game called Perfection. Remember that board game? The game Perfection, if you don't remember it, it was this little game, and it had holes on it that were all different shapes. 25 different shapes. And it had this timer on it, 60 seconds. And the way you played the game is you took all the pieces out, so you got 25 holes, you set the timer for 60 seconds, you hit the start button, and the timer started going. You had 60 seconds to find all the correct pieces and put them where they go on that board game before the time ran out. And if you didn't, or if you did complete it before the time ran out, you'd hit the buzzer, and that meant you were safe. If you didn't, then that board would spring up. Remember this game? Pieces would fly everywhere, and I think it literally saying, you're a loser, or something like that, right? You just felt terrible, like, I can't do this. A lot of little intricate parts trying to fit in there. It just seemed like it was impossible. There's no way to win at the game of perfection, at least for me. I think a lot of people look at their lives that way. If it means perfection, there's no way I'm going to win at this game. I'm never going to get it right. It's like the clock of my life is ticking, and I'm trying to put pieces together. I'm trying to be good, trying to do right, trying to watch what I say and where I go, trying just to be a good overall kind of person, hoping that in the end it's going to make me happy here, and in some way, if there is a God, it's going to make him pleased with me. And ultimately, it's not. It just seems like it's entirely belittling. Remember the title of this thought today? What is it? One God fits all. And that's what you got to think about right here. There's one God who fits all. You know what God knew before you and I ever took our first breath? He knew we wouldn't be perfect, didn't he? He knew that we would sin. And I guarantee you, you don't even have a sin list that compares to mine. And so we want to start comparing who's the worst here. I'll win that game. I may never got an A in school, but I'll be at the top of the chart there. And so God knew that about us. He knew that we would not get it right. And that's why he sent his son. That's what we sang about today. By his wounds we're healed. You remember that song we sang? That's the picture there. God gave someone who was sinless, Jesus, never sinned, walked the planet, died on a cross, shed his blood, so that in return he could exchange his perfection for our sinfulness. And that's a trade God's willing to make. Now, does that trade sound fair? Anybody? Nope. Anybody got a nice car? Car you just kind of like? What if I told you today that I've got a beat up two-wheeler that I would trade you your nice ride for my beat up bicycle? Are you taking it, Miss Sheila? Oh, you don't think so? Anybody else? I'll give you my beat-up bicycle if you'll just give me your car. That sound like a fair deal? How about I'll write you a check for everything that I have to my name, and you write me a check for everything that you have to your name, and we'll trade. Some of you might say, yeah. Some of you be like, no way. Right? I'll give you 10 if you give me 10 million. See, that's a terrible trade. No one would make that deal. And yet God did. God did. He took my sinfulness and he said, I'll trade your filth for my son's purity. And I'll relieve you of this burden of trying to earn my salvation. You can't do it, so quit trying. God chose that for us here today. All right, let's go on here. God chose also, secondly, to exchange our weariness for his rest. You know, if you're trying to pursue something that is unreachable, doesn't that seem kind of like an effort in futility? It's like me saying, I'm going to try to be 8 feet tall without the support of any kind of medication or, you know, shoes, stilts. I'm just going to work hard to be 8 feet tall. Will I ever reach that? No. I'm going to work hard to try to touch this ceiling. It's 20 feet from the floor to the peak of this ceiling. Could I ever reach that on my own? No. And so if I just spent the rest of my life trying to do that, that would seem like, this is dumb. I'm never going to get there. And so ultimately, I'd get weary, I'd get discouraged, and then I would do what? I'd quit. And you know what I'd do when I quit? I'd start making excuses. I just can't do it. Nobody can do it. Ain't nobody in the room able to jump from here to there. Nobody here can make themselves 8 feet tall. And so we just start comparing ourselves this way, saying it's impossible. Trying to reach what is unreachable leads to weariness. And Paul knew that, and so he was going to paint a picture for them. And let's look at the picture he tried to paint. It wasn't like a ceiling or height issue. It was more broad than that. Let's go to verse 6 and 7 of Romans 10. He says, the righteousness that is by faith says this, and initially it's going to be on the contrary. This is not faith. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, verse 7, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. And so here's the word picture. Somebody on this planet has got to be good enough to get up to Jesus, to bring him back down, to take care of the rest of us. Can anybody here get there? No. What was the standard? Perfection. So if none of us are perfect, none of us can get there. And so Paul's really trying to paint a picture saying, that's impossible. And on the flip side, he's saying, hey, listen, after you do that, and somebody's got to be able to go to the depths of death and bring back a departed spirit. Is that possible? No. And so he's just trying to open their eyes to see what you're trying to do, how you're trying to live is not going to accomplish anything that you set out to accomplish. And so he's trying to give them some help here in their weariness. See, the truth of the matter he's going to go on to state is this. No one needs to go to heaven and get Jesus. Why? Because he already came. And he humbled himself and came by himself. And no one needs to go to the depths of Sheol, or the depths of the grave, the depths of the dead, and bring Jesus up. Why? Because he's already resurrected. And so really what Paul's saying is, quit trying to do what God has already done for you. Isn't that good? You don't have to earn it. You're working hard at it, and you're just wearying yourself when you lay in bed at night thinking, I hope that I've done at least something right. That in some way God's going to gain his approval. And listen, this isn't just for people who don't believe. This is for people who do believe. We try to earn that favor. We try to earn that love. And we want God just to be, you know, pleased. And there, again, there's a difference between being pleasing and being loved. Sometimes I weary myself trying to earn what God's already freely done for me. It's not mine to ascend. It's not mine to descend. It's simply mine to come to Jesus. Look at this. Matthew chapter 11. Here's what Jesus says. If you've ever been weary, if you've ever been worn, maybe you're there today. Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll do something for you. What is it? And I'll give you rest. 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find, what do you find? You'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So in Jesus, there's this rest from the weariness of trying to earn something that he's freely given. It's like someone gives you a gift at Christmas time. You feel like you have to work hard to earn that gift? Or do you just say, thank you? We say thank you because that was just a freely given gift, freely received. That's the exact way it is with God. Don't earn it. You can't. Don't work hard enough to try to deserve it. You never will. I just love you. Here's the gift. Now, receive it. God chose to relieve our burden. He chose to exchange our weariness for rest. And here, third this morning, God chose to save anyone and everyone who would truly believe. So here's the picture. I can't work hard enough to earn it. We've all said we're not perfect, so none of us are able and deserving of what it is that God could do for us. So then how can I receive it? How is it that it can come to me? Paul summarizes it this way in verse 4, Romans 10, verse 4. Christ is the culmination of the law so that there may be righteousness for who? For everyone who believes. You know what that righteousness is? It means you have a right relationship with God. You're in right standing with God. And that's all through who? Who starts the sentence off? Christ, right? Jesus right there. It's not my name, it's not yours. It doesn't talk about good works, enough money, trying to earn it, deserve it. No, Christ is the culmination. Christ is the culmination for everyone who believes. And so when I say one God fits all, there we go. One God is fit and ready to fit anyone who will believe and receive him by faith. You might think, well, that's pretty simple. Yeah, well, it really is. Let's go to verse 8 here of Romans chapter 10. Remember, he says, the way you're thinking is you got to go to heaven and bring him down or go to hell and bring him up. No, it doesn't work that way. It's near you. It's close. This is something that is doable. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. Verse 9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and you're saved. And then verse 13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be, what? Saved. So is he asking you to earn it? No. Is he saying you deserve it? I don't deserve it. He's saying, this is what I've done for you. He says, it's near you. It's so near, it's in your heart. See, it's a heart and mouth thing. Now, the Bible teaches, out of the overflow of my heart, the mouth speaks. And so whatever is connected, or whatever I say, has a connection to what's going on inside. You ever say something you wish you could take back? Where'd that come from? Now, he made me say it. The devil made me do it. I don't know. I've never used that language before. It's because somewhere there's some wickedness and evil stored up in you. There's a direct tie to what comes out as it relates to what's on the inside. That's for everybody. And so here he's saying the same thing. If I confess with my mouth that Jesus really is the Son of God and that he did come to this planet and he really did die so I don't have to earn it and I can't deserve it, but just to receive it, believe in him, if I believe that in my heart, then I will naturally confess that with my mouth. If you'll believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the Lord, that he's been raised from the dead, that you are in need of his salvation, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. See, that's God's choice. God chose to relieve us. God chose to exchange. And God chose to save. And so then that kind of brings us to where we're going to at least end this part today, is now it's kind of our choice. And maybe you made this choice a long time ago. You're sitting through it politely, and that's great. Don't want to hear it. Every one of us have to do something with God. Maybe you've been sitting here for years and you believed in God a long time ago. Maybe you're trying to earn it. Maybe you're weary trying to gain his favor again, like you've sinned and so you've got to do enough good to overcompensate for your bad so that some way God goes, whew, I thought I was going to have to let you go, but at least you did that good for today. Maybe you're reminded here again today, it's not about your good. It's not really about your bad. It's about what each of us do with Jesus. And so I just wonder, what kind of choice will you make today? What kind of choice will you make today? All right? He chose everything he possibly could to bring us to this point of decision. And what he's asking is, will you receive me by belief and faith? I'll take care of your sin. I'll love you. I'll lead you. I'll work with you. Or are you just going to say, no, thank you. Don't want to hear it. And just walk away. He's a God who's willing to allow that freedom of choice as well. So I want to ask you, if you would, just for a minute to bow your heads. And we're going to pray. But before we do, we always like to give you an opportunity to respond. Maybe today you'd like to receive Jesus. Remember, the Bible says it's as near as your heart and your mouth. I mean, receiving is not about having some kind of supernatural experience where you start flipping out, screaming. It's about understanding what God has done for you. Humbling yourselves. Remember what we read about the Israelites? They wouldn't submit. I'm going to do my righteousness my way. God says, okay, but that won't gain you perfection. Or maybe today we'll say, I don't understand all this. I can't figure everything out, but I do know that I'm a sinner and I feel there's a God and I need to be made right with God. Maybe today you'd like to receive him by faith. Believing in your heart that Jesus died for you, just as he did for me. confessing with your mouth that he'll be the Lord of my life. If that's you today, would you just look at me and look back down? Listen, I'm not going to point at you in any way. I'm not going to call your name. All I'm going to do is pray. Jesus, today, I know that I'm a sinner. Will you please save me from my sin? The only people looking at me are people today saying, I want to be saved. Please save me from my sins. All right, then maybe you're here this morning and you'd say, Corey, listen, I'm just weary. And I've been trying and trying to be good, trying to be a good spouse or parent or friend or sibling or worker or neighbor. And I just keep tripping up over myself. Man, I can't get out of my own way. My mouth's always in gear. My attitude just seems to stink. I always run to what's negative. And by the way, that's my bent. Maybe today the call for you is just come to me. You'll find rest. You'll find rest from your labor. I will give you rest. Anybody today just need rest? Jesus, give me rest. If that's you, would you just look at me and look back down? I'm so tired of trying to earn it. I'm so tired of just trying to be some good person. And not that he doesn't want us to do well, but that doesn't make you love me. Listen, God doesn't want you to be guilt-driven. He wants you to be grace-driven, where you're just thankful to live a life for him, not, oh, I got to do this. When you think about what he's done for us, the least I can do is do whatever he asks of me. All right, let's pray here together this morning. Listen, if you've lifted your eyes today and you've asked Jesus and you want him to save you, there's not like certain words to pray. Remember, it's in your heart, it's in your mouth. And so I want to invite you where you are to pray. I'm going to pray something, and you can pray in those terms if you'd like. But it's not, I repeated what he said. It's, I believe that in my heart. And I'm willing to confess that with my mouth. And you're here today, and you say, I'm so weary, Corey. I've just been reminded I don't have to earn it. I want to enjoy his rest again. Then just, you pray as I pray here this morning. Let's pray. God, we love you today, and we could never love you the way that you've loved us. Lord, my own life has proved that I've been willing to not love people who wouldn't love me. And I've been willing to reject people who've rejected me. And yet here your word says today that you willingly gave Jesus for people who didn't love you, who have rejected you, they haven't thought twice about you, have tried to do it on their own. And you still love us above all these things. It's just that amazing, unconditional love. And we thank you so much for loving us that way today. God, there are those this morning who've lifted their eyes and they're not just, I can't save them. I can't save myself. So we're looking to you and just saying, Lord, you know that I'm a sinful person. I know that about myself. And I believe that you're God. And I may not have all this stuff figured out. But I do believe that your son Jesus died for me. And I do believe that he lives today. And so I confess my sin. And you know all of it. And I repent of these things. I'm going to turn from these things with your help. I'm asking you today just to save me. Lord, thank you for giving us this word that tells us it's as near as our heart and our mouth. Lord, then give us courage just to talk and to share these things with people. I can confess that Jesus saved me. And if he can save me, he can save anybody on this planet. So, Lord, we thank you for the work that you're doing in our life. Help us to know you better. Help us to love you. Help us to live our life from a position of grace and not guilt. And, Lord, others of us today have lifted our eyes and we're just saying, I'm so tired. I'm so worn. I'm striving so hard just to do the good and try to be the good, trying to earn something from you when all along you've just provided it for free. Lord, would you turn our hearts again to be thankful and to be reminded of how generous you've been towards us. We're thankful so much today for your son, Jesus, and we don't deserve what he's done, but we welcome him and we come to him knowing the rest that you'll provide. We do love you today, Lord. We thank you for loving us first, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, with every belief system, there comes a decision based on those beliefs, right? We live out whatever we believe. So if I believe it's right to be healthy, then I'll try to eat healthy and I'll try to take care of myself to some degree. If I don't believe it, then I won't do it, right? So we've got a young family here today who believes some things, and the result is they've made some decisions and some choices. And that includes this time right here this morning. So I could say a whole lot about Jamie and Jessica. I'm very proud of these people. I feel very privileged to call them friends and family. And we've prayed with them, for them. I've been amazed by the movement of God, not just with Claire, but just in many ways, just all along life here. And we think a lot of your daughter, granddaughter, niece. Think a lot of your son, brother, uncle, friend. I believe these are some godly people. Trying to be, right? We're all after that. We're not perfect at it. But it's my privilege today to be able to dedicate Miss Claire to the Lord. And I got to tell you right up front, this is a lot like a wedding. Jamie said that last Sunday, and it really clicked with me. Because Miss Claire has no ability to make any decision today, does she? We're not forcing anything on her. This is a pledge and a commitment that a man and a woman who are married, who've been blessed with the gift of a child, it's their desire to love the Lord and to lead this child, to know the Lord, to love the Lord, and let that be her choice. And she's easy to love. She's a sweet little ball, right? Well, I want to invite you guys to come up here. And to be honest with you, it was my goal today. I wanted to center something just around this right here. And I couldn't run away from the gospel. I thought, you got to share the gospel. You got to share what Jesus has done for people. But this is good. This is good too. So we'll make some statements here, sweetie. In church, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond here in just a minute as well. But I know many of us have gathered today for this moment right here. And we're going to dedicate little Miss Claire James Futrell to the Lord and to the helpful care, oversight of this congregation as well. So we celebrate with you guys. We have been, but just the gift of this little life. And we believe that she is, just a gift from God, answer to prayer in many ways. But definitely precious. We believe she's got a soul that matters, just like we said about you this morning. You've got a soul that matters as well. And so Jamie and Jessica have brought Miss Claire here before us today and before family and friends to acknowledge the gift that God has given them and to also acknowledge the responsibility that is before them. And so the Bible here teaches this in Ephesians chapter 6. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." So based on the Bible, we believe this isn't just it's not a ritual, it's not a ceremony. We're not choosing Jesus for Claire today. We don't have that power. But we are dedicating ourselves to the end of trying to lead her to God. And so I want to make a few statements to you guys as parents. We'll give you a chance to respond here. But you know you've been entrusted by God with a gift. And she's fun to cuddle on the floor, right? To hold up in the air, to sleep with. Lots of those fun moments, but there's also those responsibility moments like taking her to the doctor, changing her clothes, making sure that she's cared for. And we believe one of those responsibilities of the family as well is to lead a child to know there is a God, one, and to try to help her love him. And so from your example, Miss Claire will learn how to pray. She'll learn what it looks like to read a Bible. She'll learn what it is to love God. She'll see what it is to be connected with people who love God. She'll begin to understand why there are Christians all over the planet. And one day she'll have an opportunity to make that decision herself. But above all, we want to make it our constant prayer here that when she does come to that age, that of her own choosing, right? I mean, it'll be her decision. We pray that God would woo her heart, would win her spirit, and that she would choose Jesus. And so we're going to pray that here over her in just a minute. So I want to make just, I've got four questions for you. And if you'd like to respond in the affirmative, you can say, we do. Just like you did here, what was it, almost 5 years ago? And said, I do. We'll say, we do today. All right, do you, Jamie and Jessica, accept the awesome and serious responsibility with which God has entrusted you in the life of this child? If so, answer, we do. Do you promise to pray for and with Claire for her growth in the knowledge of God and in spiritual truth? If so, answer, we do. Do you promise to train her in body, mind, and soul for service to and fellowship with God and his church? If so, answer, we do. And do you promise to do all you can to lead her to confess her personal faith in Jesus Christ? If so, answer, we do. So you've heard their confession here this morning. It's their desire. I'm not going to hold Miss Claire. I think she's enjoying that necklace. But I'm going to place my little hand on her, all right, sweetie? And based on the confession here of your parents, Claire James Futrell, it's my privilege. It brings me no greater delight here today than to be able to dedicate you to our God in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Sweet little heart right there. In just a minute, we'll pray a prayer of dedication. But I have a challenge for you as a church family here. You know, God has not positioned us to walk life alone. And we don't have to. We can let people in. We can let them know that we struggle and that we mess it up. Because I do too, and I share that often. But it's important to be connected. And so now, to the church family here, we want to present baby Claire and also Jamie and Jessica, because you're going to have a part in their spiritual growth and their development. I'm going to ask you to play your role in assisting them in helping Claire understand the Bible, to provide opportunities for her to grow and to know the Lord, to be able to participate in the fellowship of the church, to serve God, all sorts of great ways we can be examples here. And so I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and if you would like to respond in the affirmative, then you would say, we do. And so, church, do you promise to do all in your power to assist these parents in showing their child true godliness by living lives which radiate the Christian spirit? If so, answer, we do. Do you promise to provide opportunities and facilities for training and growth in the Christian life? If so, answer, we do. And do you promise to assist these parents in every way to bring this child to the place where she will choose Christ as her personal Savior and Lord? If so, answer, we do. Well, let's pray here. Let's pray. God, we do love you today. And we're so thankful for just the simple things in life. And Lord, we can talk a lot about all sorts of places we've been and things we've done. But it's the people that we're able to share this life with that really make it matter and make it count. And Lord, you've heard the voice of two parents today acknowledging this great gift that you've given to them, and they're so thankful. And also acknowledging the responsibility of your child here, of them as your children, to help raise Miss Claire and to train her in the ways of the Lord. And Lord, it's not our goal to make her believe anything. We want to live it in such a way, and we want to present it, and we know when your Spirit's present that he draws our hearts where we want to receive what's true and right. And so we thank you for her. And Lord, only you know what days lie ahead for her. Only you know her created purpose at this point. But we know it's far beyond what we could imagine or think. And Lord, we pray that you'd grant Jamie and Jessica wisdom to know how to love Miss Claire and how to lead her. Lord, give them strength to model what it looks like to have faith when it's hard. Give them that, just that intentional spirit, Lord, that desires just to know you and to hunger for your word and to live that out, even though we're imperfect people. We pray, Lord, that in your time and your way, that you would reveal to Miss Claire her plan and your plan for her life as well. We thank you for all the family and friends who have gathered here today, and we thank you for your church family. Just, man, to be able to respond, "We do," is just an awesome privilege here this morning. It's an awesome responsibility as well. So we pray for blessings on their families. And Lord, that you would use this little life to draw people closer together, that you would use her life to help people know you. We thank you for all the ways that you've ministered to us through this time together today. We thank you for Miss Claire. We thank you for Jamie and Jessica. And we ask today that the Lord would bless them, Lord, that you'd keep them. We ask, Lord, that you'd make your face shine on them and be gracious to them. We ask, Lord, that you would turn their eyes towards you and that you would grant their home a place of peace. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.